Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So, I don't know if you can hear me or not. This one. Good enough. I'll just project a little bit. I don't know if everybody knows me. Obviously, he's my dad. A little bit about me. I was in the Navy for a while. I got a little confession to make. I wasn't really a fan of the uniforms. I should have done some research, but the bell bottoms and the cape on the back really weren't my thing. Although I'm grateful for the military mindset that it gave me. It changed kind of the way I think. I read through the Bible, I see that Paul often uses the metaphor of the military. In 2 Timothy 2:4, said it. Timothy 2:4 says, "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." It's kind of a recurrent theme that goes through Scripture. It's because he was surrounded by... Tomorrow I'll have glasses, so I don't have to do that. Not till after. Paul was surrounded by Roman soldiers all the time. He was either in custody or being watched, or they were just commonplace in the world that he was in. And I think that it really started to influence some of his letters. One of the things that really stands out is the armor of God. The armor of God kind of prepares us and sets us up for how we should live, and that's kind of what I'm talking about today. Got these all marked out, but it's not doing me any good. So the armor of God isn't really like a physical something that you put on. It doesn't have any cool bell bottoms or a cape. But it's something that really should be evident to any Christian's way of life. Is you put it on by how you live. The order that Paul lists these in Ephesians is the order that you would actually put them on. You start with the belt, the undergarments. Now, I want to go to Isaiah real quick, even though that's not where we're at. But Isaiah 11:5. Nope, wrong. I'll put that there. I didn't like that verse. I'm going to do a different translation this one for this, just this one. From the New Living Translation, it says, He will wear righteousness as a belt and truth as an undergarment. And I like multiple witnesses in the Bible. So if I can find somewhere else talking about what I'm talking about, then I'd like to just quickly go there. What's a belt do? When you put on a belt, it holds up your pants. And it holds up your pants so that you don't get exposed, right? If your pants fall down, you're now, I'm just like this, nightmare mode. I would be exposed. The way that the belt of truth protects you is there's nothing to be exposed. If you don't have anything that you're hiding. If you walk in truth, if you wear that as your basic thing, it protects your privacy. It protects you from becoming exposed. So next one is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the Roman breastplate would actually link to the belt. They were actually part of a thing. You'd have the undergarment belt, and then you'd have the breastplate, and they would come on, and they would link as one to protect the core of the body. Isaiah 59:17 says, "He put on a righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. Put on the garments of vengeance and wrap himself in zeal as a cloak." So you again see this Old Testament, New Testament echoing of the same style of armor, the same deal. Your breastplate protects your heart. That's where your emotions are. That's where your soul is sometimes. And when we look at it, that's where the whole of who you are is, and where your emotions and your choices come from. A habit of righteous living is defense against temptation. If you live righteously, you remember the verse that says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And that's kind of how this armor works. If you're constantly resisting temptation, you become untouchable. You become out of the reach of the enemy, and you drive away attacks towards your heart. The next one is the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Roman sandals, or the caleg, I guess. I couldn't find anywhere that actually tell me how to pronounce it. So, Roman sandals. They had they were big, heavy sandals, and they had hobnails sticking out of the bottoms of them. And these nails are like modern cleats. When they'd get in their line and they would all be side by side, they'd have an army rushing at them, and they would have to dig their feet in, and they wanted that traction. The traction that we have is the gospel. That's what we stand firm on. And if we stand firm on that, you can't be pushed back. You can't be moved. It's the rock. The sand around you can wear away and everybody can go. As long as you have your feet on that, that you stand firm on the gospel of peace and you cannot be moved. Let's see. Shield of faith. It talks about fiery darts being attacked. Or being attacked with the shield of faith blocks fiery darts of the enemy. But what are these fiery darts? Darts are a weapon that is kind of used sneakily. You don't really know where they're coming from. It's not like the group of archers where you know they're there and they're coming at. Darts are kind of a sneaky weapon, a ninja weapon, or whatever you want to call it. It's not your common thing. So they're hidden. They're sudden attacks that can come from different angles. The fiery part is it's meant to inflame your mind. It's meant to get you worked up, get you like this. It could be any kind of attacks. It could be attacks in your daily life. It could be things not going your way. It could be things going your way when it really shouldn't. Faith. Faith protects you because you're not relying on what you see. If you see this attack coming in and you get overwhelmed, that just adds kindling to the fire. If you close your eyes to what you see and you put your trust in your faith and you weather the attack, that in itself is the defense for it. It destroys the attacks. It makes them ineffective. They no longer can they start a fire in you. They don't even reach. The Roman shield is a big shield. We're not talking about this little deal. The reason that he puts the shield before the helmet is you couldn't fit the shield over the helmet. It has like a little hook on it, and it would hang on, and its body length, it will protect you from top to bottom. Let's see. Helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Since we belong to that day, let's be self-controlled, putting faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Another little echo in there. The helmet protects your head, where your decision-making is. It's where your mind is. The helmet of salvation. Why would salvation protect your mind? What the enemy attacks you with. There's been many times where he'll, you know, whether it's makes you question your belief in God himself, whether he makes you question your salvation, you're not worthy of salvation. The devil is the accuser. His job is to stand right next to God all day long and point out what you're doing wrong. The assurance of your salvation protects your mind. If you keep your mind on that and you just tell yourself that over and over. You know that that's there. All of those attacks of the enemy towards your mind melt away. There's no longer confusion. Even if you don't understand it, you get the peace that surpasses understanding. Something else. Why? The sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 11:12. What is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The gospel of Christ spoken puts shame to the enemy. It's an inexorable fact. Jesus himself only used scripture when confronted with Satan. Ironically, so did Satan. That shows two swords clashing. You can see the battlefield or the battle that's going on there. But it's more than that. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word became flesh. I am of the belief that this also refers to the fact that Jesus is going to go out and fight your battle for you, that he goes before you, prepares the way for you. Every step is appointed for. I believe that you can have confidence, because everything else in this is defensive. It's passive. We put this on through our daily lives, and we passively don them, and they're just a part of it, and they're evident to the outsiders by how we live our lives. This is an offensive weapon. This is something that is used, like Hebrews said, to slice from bone, from marrow. I think it's knowing the Word is half of it, and I think the other half of it is faith in the Word himself. I'm glad I cut out 3/4 of it. I spent more time cutting stuff out than I did adding to it. So that's our armor. Now, on a battlefield, every soldier needs a uniform. It's how you know what side you're on. It's how you know who you're talking to, whether he's a lowly little airman or whether he's a colonel. The Christian way of life equips us with the armor of God. And that should be evident to others that you're wearing that. It should be, if you're doing it right, if you're living your life righteously and truthfully, it becomes clear as day when you look at someone from the world. And it's way cooler than the Navy uniform with cape and bell bottoms. That's it. Thank you.